BBC World Service.
We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Freud and Tim Rice in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've heard, we welcome back Tim Rice to play the game with our three regulars. And they're all going to try and speak, not together, I hope. They often might, of course, on the subject that I will give them, and they're going to try and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is bliss. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, bliss is a state of mind which it's much, much easier to attain if you have a host of sympathetic friends and a fairly large bank account and are in superb physical condition, have a happy disposition, and are, generally speaking, ready to...
Kenneth Williams was
just... Hesitation,
yes, I'm afraid the bliss was slowly dripping away from him, wasn't it? Kenneth, I agree with your challenge, so you get a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject. And there are 37 and a half seconds, starting now.
The music of bliss has filled me with insatiate desire, I can't tell you. It's transported me. On the other hand, we all have to agree that bliss, in terms of humanity, is hardly ever realised, because, like retrospective things, you see, you only know when you've done it, when you've got past it, do you see its value in terms of human happiness and the condition in which we are so continually placed as that of extreme adversity, and few things come along to alleviate our sufferings, and therefore bliss will remain heavenly, not attainable here upon this earth.
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets an extra point. It was Kenneth Williams. And at the end of that round, the only person to score any points is Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, we'd like you to begin the second round. The subject chosen for you is making myself perfectly clear. Well, you've given us one example of that, but now will you talk on the subject? Starting now.
I make myself perfectly clear in France.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Could you say that again?
What's this about?
Well, it was a joke, actually, I think.
And never
asking
known.
You to
oh,
say.
Oh, I see. Did you get it?
Making yourself perfectly clear.
I've just got it.
Yes.
Very good. Yes. Very good.
Some of the audience are just getting it, too. It's going round very slowly, but... Kenneth, I disagree with the challenge altogether, so you have another point. You're still the only person with any points in this game, which is most unusual, and there are 57 and a half seconds to making myself perfectly clear, starting now.
I made myself perfectly clear, I'm perfect, but...
Tim Rice, the challenge.
Definite hesitation on the word perfectly.
No, there wasn't. He was trying to do it in a very strange way. He's got another point, and there are 55 seconds left. So, starting now.
When I say to my French friends, comment allez-vous? Vous avez le...
Tim Rice's challenge.
Two vous. You said, comment allez-vous, and then vous.
Vous avez.
Oh, but vous avez is different to the sound of vous, because it's got an S on the end, isn't it?
Well, they've both got an S on the end, but you pronounce one as vous and the other one as vous.
Oh, I see.
It's the same word.
Try to deceive us, but I think Tim's challenges are justified. Tim Rice, you have the subject. There are 48 seconds on making myself perfectly clear, starting now.
It is not often appreciated how important the order of words is if you wish to make yourself perfectly clear. For example, if I said making perfectly myself clear or perfectly clear myself making... or even perfectly clear making myself, it would not be quite as crystally obvious what I was going on about as if I was saying what is on the card, and I am therefore allowed to say it as often as I like, making myself perfectly clear. I hope I have made myself perfectly clear on this one. If I have not made myself perfectly clear, then I invite listeners to write in...
Clement Freud is challenged.
17 eyes.
In view of his manipulation of the rules, I think it's only fair to give it to Clement Freud and say, please take over the subject with 17 seconds, making myself perfectly clear, starting now.
Making myself perfectly clear is something which no politician ought to try, because the lunacy of elucidating people as to your intentions, or even of sitting next to Kenneth Williams, who is trying to make himself far less clear than anybody would have believed.
Well, Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, got the extra point that time, and he's now in second place, ahead of Tim Rice, behind our leader, Kenneth Williams. And for those of you at home who listen without cosmic eyes and wonder what the laughter was while Clement was being serious, is because Kenneth was up to his tricks again, sitting next to him, and he's still doing it now about me. Tim Rice, will you take the next subject? It is comics. Will you tell us something about those in a minute, starting now?
Yes, I will take the next subject, which happens to be comics. That word conjures up a beautiful childhood. I remember Beano, Dandy, Eagle, Mickey Mouse. Some of the characters in that third periodical I mentioned included Dan Dare and his faithful Batman Digby, who travelled across space through the solar system past Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and all the satellites of that sixth planet out from the sun, Mimas, Enceladus, Tethys, Dione.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of planets.
Yes, you did say past the planets the first time, yes. Clement, well, listen, there are 37 seconds on comics, election. Starting now.
My favourite is Bunty, and particularly the Four Marys.
Tim Rice has challenged.
I think Bunty's ceased publication, hasn't it?
Well, it can still be his favourite. He may not be able to read it.
No, but it surely was Bunty in that case.
This is libel. My friends at Bunty will have you for your...
But before
royalties.
We give them any more publicity, let's say, Clement, you continue with 32 and a half seconds on comics, starting now.
The Four Marys are a quartet of disadvantaged girls, if you can believe the paintings or pictures which are depicted in the pages of that particular comic. And Miss Raleigh is actually my favourite because she is 5'2", has black hair, blazing blue eyes, and believes the headmistress, Mrs. Gull, or doctor of that name, is more evil than she actually is.
Well, Clement Freud, in spite of being nobbled again by Kenneth Williams, managed to keep going. The whistle went, gained an extra point, and has now taken the lead ahead of Kenneth. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, Creatures from the Deep. Will you tell us something about them in 60 seconds, starting now?
The Four Marys in Bunty are as close to creatures from the deep as I ever hope to find. This children's magazine, published most Thursdays, though occasionally Friday, even if the newsagent is tardy on a Tuesday, belong to a type of subspecies seldom seen in real life. Everything that occurs in the stories penned by the authors of DC Thompson Limited of Dundee, who are publishers, make one believe that nothing...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
I don't think this is any relationship to...
No, he's deviated. He's on to publishing and got well away from the creatures from the deep, even though he tried to make a connection at the beginning. There are 25 seconds for that subject with you, Kenneth, starting now.
One of the creatures from the deep that interests me is the whale which uses pilot fish to guide him through...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Whales hang around on the top, don't they? They don't go that far down.
Sharks.
What?
Hang around on top.
They don't hang around on top. They are creatures of the deep. What are you talking about, hang about? They hang about.
They do hang about on top, but they also go down, you know.
But they don't go that far down, do they?
Well, I think the deep can be referred to, but you don't mean the deepest part of the deep. I mean, often you can refer to the sea. No, I think that, Ken, it was an unjustified challenge.
Well, if you didn't mean the deep, you'd say the ocean, creatures of the ocean, sure.
Yeah, but in any case,
some people refer to the ocean as the deep. I don't think colloquially he's deviating from the subject.
It's irritating, isn't it?
There are 18 seconds with you, Kenneth, starting now.
The pilot fish that guided it, was what I was talking about. Now I've gone right off. I've gone right off. It's just ruined my flow. I've got no flow.
Well, you must bring her with you next week. Tim, you take over the subject. There are 13 seconds left. Creatures from the deep, starting now.
I was once given a long...
Peter Jones has challenged.
He always starts off, I was once.
Well, it's all right. He hasn't said it before in this particular round, so he's all right. So he has a point. He keeps the subject. 12 seconds, starting now.
Having been handed a long-tentacled fishy thing by a friend, I said, what's this? And he said, it's the 6 quid I owe you, or something like that. This is an extremely bad joke, which I hope is relevant to the title. Peter's...
So the impact of his joke kept him going to the end, and the audience, as we all worked it out. The whistle went, he gained an extra point, and Tim Rice is in third place behind Clement Freud. Kenneth Williams has taken the lead again, and Peter Jones is now going to begin. The subject, package holidays. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I wish there were literally package holidays, and by that I mean I would like to be put into a carton and boxed up and then lowered into... the fuselage of an aeroplane, or whatever you call it, and taken to some foreign parts where my holiday would begin, and then unwrapped carefully, having had some kind of anaesthetic or tranquilizing drug for the course of the journey. And I think that would be very restful and would, in fact, be a real package holiday. Now, the ones that I have been on before have involved going to Vienna or Venice or somewhere, usually beginning with V. And then... Yeah, what's the matter?
Tim Rice.
What? I thought perhaps the buzzers had failed.
No. I think you were the one who failed, actually.
Yes, I was. Yes,
it wasn't
right,
quite your
yes.
scene, was it? Tim, you challenged. Hesitation. Yes, I agree. There are 12 seconds. Package holidays starting now.
Last package holiday that a friend of mine went on, not me, you note, was very unsuccessful in the...
Peter Jones has challenged.
He didn't take you.
A good try, Peter, but a wrong challenge.
I'm sorry. But only not me. I mean, it seems so funny.
No. I don't know. The audience laughed. 7 seconds, package holidays, Tim, starting now.
For a start, the shower didn't work in his bedroom. When he turned it on, sand came out, which is very irritating if you have just come in from a hot, sweaty round of golf.
Tim Rice gained the points in that round, and he has taken the lead ahead of Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. Peter Jones is trailing a little. Kenneth, will you begin the next round? An historical one for you again. David Hume, the one who was born in 1711. You tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now.
An interesting aspect of his work is the cause and effect theory, which he puts forward apropos what you necessarily see happening cannot be assumed to be happening if you do not bear testimony to the occurrence itself. Now, an example would be the billiard ball hitting another and cannoning the balls off, you see, would be... thought of as cause and effect, because you'd say, well, that ball hit that other ball, and therefore...
Tim has challenged.
No, I said balls. The other one was all balls.
You're making it sound a bit like that. You did actually say... You did actually say ball 3 times.
But it was time to get the cause and effect thing showing. You see, the ball hitting the ball means that they do think the first ball caused it, but it wouldn't necessarily be so if another ball hit a ball which you weren't seeing doing.
I entirely see what you mean. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I entirely see what you mean. So, Tim, I agree with your challenge. There are 29 seconds on David Hume, the one born 1711, starting now.
The David Hume I know about, born in 1711, was one of the first 18th century hang gliders and met a tragic end in 1746 when...
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so. Clement, 19 seconds on David Hume, 1711, starting now.
David Hume, born 1711, was probably the first known atheist who was not punished for his beliefs. And...
Tim Rice.
What about Cain?
Yes, lots of them, lots of examples, yes.
I mean,
yes, lots of examples, you're quite right. Yes, it's a very bad statement. It was a devious statement.
When was Cain born?
Before that.
Before 1711.
Oh, miles before. Yes,
10 seconds with you, Tim, on David Hume, born 1711.
Yes, he accepts it. Chairman's ruling is all paramount. Lovely chairman.
Starting now. And Clement Freud's chairman.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree. So, Clement, you have the subject back on 7.5 seconds on David Hume, born 1711, starting now.
To profess the lack of faith in the 18th century was, in fact, a very brave thing indeed.
Kenneth
Williams... Wasn't at all. Lots of people were doing it.
A lot of people were doing it, but to express that opinion, which David Hume did, that's what Clement was establishing, actually. So he wasn't actually deviating from...
No, of course he was deviating. He was saying, nobody dared.
No, he never said nobody dared.
Loads of people were doing it. It was such a joke about him. They actually called it St. David Street in which he lived. That was the joke. That was the whole point of it. That it was received as a joke. If it had been what he said, nobody would have been dared making jokes about it. It would have been so profane and ghastly, would it not? Oh.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And I hope you feel better for it, too, because I... Actually, Clement, I don't think was...
you can't even say it, can you? You're
no, I couldn't think of the...
It would have been a bath chair, and that chair... They wheel him in here at night. They wheel him in. Give him an injection before he starts. Queen's Royal Jelly, they give you. Your adrenaline flowing.
I'm afraid the... The injection must be wearing off.
Even Peter Jones has dropped off, look.
He has injections as well. So, Clement, I don't think you were deviating from the subject. There are 3 seconds on David Hume, born 1711, starting now.
He was 16 years old when George II came to the throne.
Clement Freud got the extra point and others in that round. And at the end, he is now in the lead alongside Tim Rice. But Kenneth Williams isn't far behind. Peter Jones is further. Tim, it's your turn to begin. The subject is irritating motorists. Will you tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now?
One of the best ways to irritate fellow motorists is to drive at exactly 70 miles an hour in the fast lane of the motorway and wait till some twit, usually in a Ford Granada, starts flashing you from behind. Move over into the next passage, the middle one, and speed ahead so he can't overtake you, and then go back into the aforementioned right-hand channel of this big, large, wide road, which began being built in 1958. The M1 was the first one. I remember it well, being opened by Harold Macmillan quite near my hometown of St Albans. That is just one way of irritating your fellow motorists. There are other simple ways, like just making...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
We had way twice.
You had what twice?
Way twice.
Way, yes. That's right. One way and another way. Yes, well, listen, Kenneth, there are 25 seconds on irritating motorists starting now.
One of the ways is to do what Stanley Unwin always says about tripping...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Ways. You had a lot of ways there.
He said one way and he said ways, didn't he?
Always.
Way and ways.
No.
No?
No, he didn't.
I was just very fed up with his challenge, to be honest. I wanted to get it out of my system.
He's keeping Stanley Unwin's name before
the public.
Yes,
you must never allow your emotions to get the better of you. You must stay always cool, and like I am, I'm always cool.
Kenneth, you have the subject. There are 21 seconds for irritating motorists starting now.
You cry out to them, trip over to the ancient Grecian Sparkus where the wax or Ulysses stomach near the adrome in order to pass Siren safely with a luxury flat block, carry the new Arabelle, and carry the ankles. That will always...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Incoherence.
That is not one of the rules of the game. Don't clap him. Shut up. Don't clap him. That is not one of the rules of the game. You're making a new rule that you've got to be coherent. Is that one of your rules? Is that one of your rules?
Have you got a challenge which is within the rules of the game, Peter?
Well, look at him. Look at him. Look at the brain. Look at him.
It's a deviation. Incoherence is another way of saying it's a devious.
But no, I think what we do is give Peter Jones a point for a good challenge on incoherence, but we leave the subject with Kenneth Williams because...
But that isn't fair. That's not reasonable. You see, there are things that are not in the rules that you still would not allow. For instance, Kenneth might walk over to you and hit you over the head with the water jug. And you wouldn't allow that, I'm sure, if you could avoid it.
Well, I would still be able to allow it in the game. Because
no, you wouldn't. You'd be unconscious, even more. More you are now.
He might have been deviating from logic, but then we often do in this game, so let's leave it with him. But if he goes on much longer like that, I will have to go against him. Kenneth, you have 11 seconds for irritating motorists, starting now.
You take a balloon and put into it having blown up considerably.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
He's now coherent.
He was always coherent, but didn't make very much sense. Kenneth, you have another point and 7 seconds on irritating motorists starting now.
When the aforementioned balloon has reached...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of balloon.
Yes. Clement, you've got him with 3 seconds on irritating motorists starting now.
Jumping up and down with your clothes on is very likely...
So, Clement Freud getting in just before the whistle, gained an extra point and has just taken the lead, but he's only 1 point ahead of the person in second place now, who is Kenneth Williams, and he's only one ahead of Tim Rice. So, a keen contest, and Clement, your turn to begin, and the subject is what more people should do. An interesting subject, and can you try and talk on it starting now?
What more people should do is cheer up Kenneth Williams, who looks desperately sad and unhappy and miserable and bored and asleep and winds me up whenever I start talking. And if only more people would remember that he is a decent sort of chap who produces plays which occasionally run...
Kenneth Williams has chucked.
This is devious, you see, he's deviating the subject, because the subject is what more people should do, and this is all about me, so it's not about people, is it? It's not a generality any longer. It's become a particular.
No?
It's become a particular,
right,
but
so
he's still saying what more people should do.
What more people should do. What more people. More people, isn't it? Not okay,
the subject says what more people should do, and I think this is a very delicate decision to make. So once again, I will appeal to our audience. If you think that Kenneth's challenge is correct and we should stick to just more people should do and not make it personalised as Clement, then you cheer for Kenneth and you boo for Clement and you all do it together now.
Boo!
I don't know why I ever bothered to put it to the audience when Kenneth's involved, because they always come out on your side, Kenneth. So you have another point. You've taken the lead alongside Clement Freud. You have the subject. What more people should do starting now?
What more people should do is to become altruistic and
Peter Jones has
people should become altruistic. That's what I meant to say. More altruistic. That's what
yes.
I mean, they should become altruistic. In losing themselves in the problems of others, they will find the salvation that they need. That's what more people should do. That's what I was trying to say. See my
yes,
point?
Yes,
see my
yes.
point? I was very anxious to get that out. I think it's totally important you get that out. You know what I mean?
You get so much out on just
yes,
a minute.
You've got to let it all out, you think.
So, Peter Jones, good to hear from you again. And there are 34 seconds on what more people should do starting now.
I think more people should relax and take life easily, not rush to keep appointments and be subject to intense pressure. Take, as an example,
Tim Rice has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a definite error, I'm afraid. 15 seconds for you, Tim, on what more people should do, starting now.
I think more people should go walking. There are so many beautiful counties in England through which people can stroll. For example, Derbyshire. There is a absolutely staggeringly impressive county.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of county.
More counties, yes. And
I did say
yes.
County the second time.
But didn't you say counties the first time?
No.
Does
no,
it matter?
No. Yes, it does. Four seconds. What more people should do, Clement, starting now?
What more people should do is ride a bicycle, and then they would be fitter and weller and better.
Clement Freud has taken the lead again at the end of that round. Kenneth Williams is still in second place, not far behind. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is herbal remedies. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
I viewed them with great scepticism until when a horrible protrusion appeared upon my thigh. A lady with whom I had really only a brief nodding acquaintance said, why don't you try wrapping in root of marigold? I said, don't be ridiculous. I'll go and get an antibiotic. Everyone else does that. She said, I would ask you seriously to consider this treatment because it has proved efficacious for me in the past. Every time anything remotely resembling a boil or a pimple or pustule has appeared upon my lovely frame, I said, oh, well, I will have a go. And within 24 hours, to my astonishment, it had gone down.
Well, it does seem that when Kenneth thinks the end of the show is nigh, he takes the bit between his teeth and finishes in style, because he was not interrupted throughout 1 minute, so he gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, and an extra point for not being interrupted. 2 points in that round, Kenneth. And now to give you the final score, Peter Jones, adding, as usual, luster to the occasion, but not many points to his name. Tim Rice, returning in triumph, gained a lot of points, didn't quite get ahead of Clement Freud. But Kenneth Williams, stealing up from behind, overtook them all and is this week's winner. Well, a popular win, as you see, and if the Kenneth Williams fan club wants to come into the audience again, no doubt he will give the same value. But as I said, we have little time left, so let me quickly say thank you very much for tuning in. We hope that you've enjoyed the show at home, and we'll want to do the same thing again next time when we play Just a Minute. Goodbye from us all.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.